to this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
Good morning. It is a good morning. All right. Who's got their sword? Let's see your swords. Want to see your swords? Okay. So we are looking at Zechariah. If you open your swords to Zechariah. So if you know how to find Matthew, just go back a smidge. And we are looking in verse 6. So this is Zechariah. So chapter 4, verse 6. Zechariah, the prophet, speaking to Zerubbabel. And he says, "This is the word of the Lord to you, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." So I've had an interesting and hard few weeks, and honestly been calling in sick for this one a few times and not really knowing where to go with this verse, because in all honesty I've avoided this verse over my life because I don't like it, because of the grammatical mess that it is. If you know me, you'll know that I do get into semantics. And this looks like a fragmented sentence structure to me. So I learned when I was in high school, my English teacher, I handed him my very well-written essay that I thought was fantastic, and he read one word and handed it back to me and said, "You can't start a essay with the word because." And I'm like, I pondered that, and then I came up with a better way to start it, and that was satisfying, and we moved on. So that was what I was taught, and that stuck with me my whole life. So when you look at this verse, and it starts with "not," I'm like, can you start a sentence with "not"? Well, apparently you can. So I've done some research. So we've got what you call, sorry if you're not into semantics, but this is my jam, three of them, what they call conjunctions, not, nor, and but, that all like together, we have a common preposition, by, okay, so that gives it balance on one side of the scale, but we're lacking a subject and we're lacking a verb to make a proper sentence structure, okay? We're talking English here, sorry, it's not meant to be an English lesson, but this is, I'm just sharing with you, this is what's been going on in my brain leading up to preparing for this. So I'm stuck on this. How do I come in and share with you folk about a scripture that I don't necessarily like, believe, understand, or want to talk about? So I have done some research, and the question was raised, who am I to question God? Well, I'm a child of God, and if anyone has kids, you know they question you. So God said, that's okay, we can do this. So I'm like, okay, well, tell me, help me, what do I do with this, what do I do? And I've been working on it for weeks, and I didn't get anything. And then last night I went to bed with my husband, my son. I'm like, so, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, what? Well, that's what it says, but what? But it's like it's incomplete. I'm like, why? What? What's it there for? Like, I understand it. You're not using your own physical strength. But by my spirit, what? There needs to be a subject here, right? There needs to be a verb. We need to have an action. So I've been reading back in chapter 4, and it seems that this is in answer to a vision. Well, that didn't help me either, because the vision is gold lampstand, bowl, gold channels, oil, olive trees. Okay, sure, right. So literally last night, I'm like, all this time I've been like in my head going like, I can't do this. And then God kept saying like, no, by my spirit, you shall. I'm like, okay, I will. I'll rock up and I'm going to just go with the spirit and go with the flow as it seems. And then last night, rolled into bed and I'm like, I still don't know. I'm still asking the question. And then I just went, whatever, I'm just going to rock up and go with the Spirit. As soon as I shut my eyes and let go last night, God told me, well, what if it was an answer to a question? And I went, you're kidding. 10 o'clock the night before, I got the revelation of why this is here according to what I needed to understand the context of the verse. So what if we're talking about this guy called Zerubbabel? I hope that's how you say it. He was in a spot of bother. So I can imagine that he was saying, God, help me. How do I get through this? How do I get things done? I have nothing. And this vision that Zechariah brings to him may, according to the revelation that God gave me last night, was his answer. This is how you get through. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. And here is the encouragement, the vision, the revelation that you need to get through. So, a bit of historical context of why he was in a spot of bother. So this guy was the political governor of Judah at the time, and he's leading the Jewish exiles that have returned from Babylon. So he was tasked with rebuilding the temple from ruins. So they've been off 70 years, they were in exile, and now they've come back and their temple is in ruins. And this is the guy that is going to lead the, he's the site manager for these works. And it's not going well. So he has a massive construction project and it has stalled out. He's gone through a period of intense struggle, economic hardship, heavy opposition, political exhaustion. He has no army. There's low morale. There's no salvos down the road. There's no one to go to for help because this is the actual temple. This is the place where he's the one that people are coming to for help. And he is at effectively rock bottom. So the temple was the heart of the Jewish people and it's now in ruins. So, sounds like spot of bother, yeah? Enter Zechariah with a vision. Good old Zechariah shows up and says, this is the word of the Lord. I had this vision, and the vision looked something like this. Because I'm a very visual person, I need to see it. Okay, I don't know, like that's just a drawing, all right, but it's got all the elements there. So there's the two olive trees, the oil is flowing into the bowl. I don't know why there's two little bowls there, because there was not two little bowls in the vision, there was just the one big one. But then there's these gold pipes leading to the candles, and the candles are burning. All right, this is the vision. Then the angel who talked with me returned and wakened me. As a man is wakened from his sleep, he asked me, what do you see? I answered, I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lights on it with seven channels to the lights. Also, there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left. I asked the angel who talked with me, what are these, my Lord? He answered, do you not know what these are? Well, I didn't either, so, you know, fair question. Now, no, my Lord, I replied. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to your friend Zerubbabel, who is at rock bottom. He's not doing good. Go and tell him that this is a vision for him. I'm ad-libbing here, just so you know. This is the word of the Lord for him, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. So maybe his question was, how am I going to raise this temple up from ruins? And this is how. So what you have here is a divine ecosystem. It is a four-step gravity-fed filtration system. I'll credit Google with that quote because I was... don't know what that means, but that's apparently what that is. So anyway, the gold pipes fill the bowl with oil. So normally the priest would fill this bowl with oil themselves. So they would shred the olives to get the oil and fill the bowl to light the lamp or keep the lamp burning. Okay, but in this vision, the trees are filling the bowl. Okay, so the priest doesn't have to work. This is a supernatural flow, a divine ecosystem, if you will. So this vision is God showing Zerubbabel, we call him Zach maybe because it's a bit shorter, how to access supply. So there's a supply that he can access by the Spirit of God. The oil flows without human effort, and also, this just came to me this morning while I was worship time. If you want to know about not by might, not by power, not by human ability, not by intellect, like you can't brain around stuff when you literally have a block and you get nothing, and then in the middle of worship you're still writing notes because it's still just coming to you. But isn't this good? But if we're not relying on human ability, then human blunders can't stuff it up. Yay! Yay! And then the glory goes to God. Yeah, it's good. Okay, so do you ever feel like you're running on empty? Okay, the simple life of a child, never. So the next part of this vision, the olive trees, they represent Zach over here, the anointed servant, and the other tree is the high priest, which at the time was Joshua. So, I've been really breaking my brain over this one, but if it's not by human effort, how can the tree represent the dude? But then, remember, we've learned all about the trees, haven't we? Being rooted by streams of living water, that the tree doesn't strain to grow and produce fruit, olives. It just lives. It just exists. It takes up the goodness, the nutrition from the soil, takes it from the sun, and it just has to stay where it's put and grow. And that all happens. So now, if the high priest in the time of this guy was Joshua, who is our high priest? Yes, Jesus, our great high priest. We read that in Hebrews chapter 5. We talk about Jesus as our high priest, okay? So how to make this relevant to us, if we are the anointed servant, which we are, can be, or should be perhaps, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit and we can be that anointed servant and let that oil flow from us. And that oil will also flow from Jesus, the great high priest, to fill the bowl. So we don't need to worry about supply because it can come supernaturally. Yay, isn't that great? So, because being a wordsmith, I need to do this. Not by might. What is might? Might is, a systemic power. Military force, so like an army. It can also represent financial wealth. So if we're told not to work by might, then we need to not look at what we think we should have. So if we are lacking in some area that we think we need to take our eyes off those things and put them back on the Spirit. Nor by power. What's power? Raw physical energy, muscle, human ability, intellect. Wah, wah, wah. Because this was me this week going like, I can't get my head around this thing. Like, what do I do? What do I do? I go to bed and let it go. Let it sit with Jesus. Yeah. You can't make a strategy. You can't use your willpower because those things are not going to work in God's economy. You can't brain this one out, Joe. You can't work harder. There's no strategy that we can come up with that is going to do better than God's system. So, and it's not by Wi-Fi. Isn't that good? Because the Wi-Fi ain't working anyway. My word, I've had a most interesting week. I got handed a brand new laptop and I blew it up. Not physically, just like my special brain did things that shouldn't do and broke the system, but that's fine. I don't need it because actually my job I can do without it. I just carry on and make coffee and make people smile. That's what I'm there for, isn't it? I can still answer the phone. And not buy coffee. Even when the coffee runs out, then I have to actually answer the phone. But by my spirit, the word for that is ruach. That represents the divine presence of God. So in the vision, that lampstand was lit. The flames were already lit on that lampstand. That means that the presence of God was already there. Okay, you don't need to add anything to that. You just be. The Spirit of God is breath. It's life-giving. Right from the start, we know that God breathed life into man when he created him. The Spirit of God is described as a wind. What does the wind do? It moves things without being seen. You don't see the wind, but you see the things that get blown around, don't you? So the Spirit has influence towards rulers and authorities. So you can bark up the tree trying to make things change and fix things, but if you don't have that position of authority, then you can bark all day and no one's going to hear you. But God does have that influence towards rulers and authorities, and he can give us supernatural endurance. So when we get to the end of what we've got, then God steps in. This quote I heard this week that has stuck in my head: when the wind blows, be a windmill, not a wall. Yeah, if the wind's going to blow, you can block it, you can shut the door, close the window. Skip over. So you all know what a windmill looks like. There's a picture of one. Okay. And what does the windmill do? It faces the wind. It catches the wind and spins and it creates energy. Right? The windmill on its own just is an ornament, basically. It just sits there. Okay. But when the wind blows, those little propeller things, whatever you call them, the vanes catch the wind and they spin. And that's how the power happens, okay? It doesn't try really hard to spin. It just waits for the wind. So lift your sails, yeah. Catch the wind, yeah. A boat with no sail, you're just gonna sit there, right? Until you put that sail up, wait for the wind. Wind blows, you catch the sail. So we turn towards God. You don't turn away from the wind. If you want to catch the wind, you turn towards it. So, does anyone know about rock bottom? Yeah, I thought that I knew rock bottom and then I found rock bottom on a different level and went, oh, okay, maybe there's more. Life can get hard. It can get really hard. So are you connected to a divine ecosystem? Because we have this system. If you can go to the next one, thank you. So that bowl doesn't try. It just waits and the oil flows. The tree just takes what it's given. It soaks up. Okay, we can get our encouragement from here, from each other, from worship. Acts 1 verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So the Holy Spirit power is something that is for everyone. It's quite clear. There's so many verses in this Bible that will tell you all about how to access that power. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Holy Spirit, imploring you to be filled. Okay? Now, I'm just like quoting one-liners here. You might need to check the terms and conditions on that, okay? Because it's a relationship. You can't actually get all of these things if you're Bible is dusty under your bed or wherever you left it, right? Read the bit before it will tell you how to get to there, all right? If you need some help, then there's plenty of people that can help you with that. So if you heard a few weeks ago, I shared some things that I learned in counselling. Do we know that the Holy Spirit is described as a counsellor, that God will send the counsellor, and it's free counselling? You don't have to pay for those sessions. Yeah, I mean, you can go and pay and see a counsellor as well. I definitely am a big advocate for that. But hey, if you can get it for free, that sounds good to me. So when I shared a few weeks ago, I talked a bit about core beliefs, and that can be a thing that can get in the way of our access. So if I say to you that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, what do you think? How do you respond inside your heart, in your spirit, that that's for other people, or I'm not good enough, or I've done too many wrong things? All of these things, if you hear that you are something good and you immediately respond inside your spirit with, no, I'm not, but, anything that starts with a but, that's not the truth. The Holy Spirit is described in John. Let's look at John chapter 14, if you'd like to read with me. I'm just going to read a few verses here. All right, John chapter 14, starting from verse 16. Your homework, read verse 15, disclaimer. But I'm going to start at verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Yeah? What's truth? The truth is that you are loved, you are lovable, you are worthy of love. That's all in here. Okay, that's the truth. So if you're getting lies coming in that you're not any of those things, you need to listen to the voice of truth that tells you that you are, the voice of truth that speaks a different story. Yeah, change the narrative. And then John chapter 14, skip over to verse 26. I actually was quite amusing to me after what I've just shared with you about semantics, and then every verse that I have highlighted here starts with and but. I'm okay. Might have to switch from the NIV maybe. Let's try something different. Ugh. That's okay. I am okay. Yeah. Yeah, well, that might give me a few different problems, though. So, but the counsellor. Okay, so if there's a but, then there's usually something before it that you need to consider, right? There's a reason that it's there. Okay, so Jesus is talking in this previous little monologue that he has here, that he's telling the disciples how to go on living when he has returned to heaven. Okay, so there's going to come a time when you're not going to see, hear, touch, feel, whatever, and you need to go on living. So this is what he is addressing, and that this is the answer. But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. Yay, you can have it, because Jesus promised here that he would leave peace for us. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Okay, so if you're facing something that's big, if you're like rebuilding a temple that's in ruins, whatever thing you've got going that feels like you haven't got the resources, don't let your heart be troubled. And don't be afraid. draw on the resources, get connected, be like the olive tree. Okay, so just in conclusion, so Jesus gives us a few examples, like if you go over the next chapter, John chapter 15, he's talking about the vine and the branches, yeah, being connected. The branch, once you cut off a branch, the branch dies. But if it's a vine, if it's connected, it will grow, yeah, and it's going to produce fruit. John chapter 7 talks about streams of living water will flow from within you, okay? Water, oil, all of these things. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. Yeah, it's a gift that God has given. And we need to fan into flame. How can you fan into flame? What is the gift of God within you? The Holy Spirit. How do you fan that into flame? Well, we know the Holy Spirit at Pentecost was described as tongues of fire. Yeah? So if you take that Holy Spirit within you, you want to fan that into flame. How do you fan a flame? With the wind. So we're going to turn to the wind, yeah? Like a windmill. Catch the wind. Put your sail up. Get that wind from the Holy Spirit. See, we don't have to do it ourselves. The Holy Spirit gives you the wind to fan his own flame. You just have to, like, let it happen, right? For God did not give us a spirit of timidity. Yeah? But a spirit of power. Yeah, okay? So power, that's not our own strength, our own might. Okay. Just reflect on the Holy Spirit within you. If you haven't invited the Holy Spirit to come and be that provision in you, if you need help to get connected, to get planted, then you can do it. Don't hesitate. Take the opportunity like it's a free gift. The gift of God which is already in you, it's there. You just have to catch that wind and fan that flame and allow the counselor to just work deeply within.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.